Hello, everyone, and welcome to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. My first ever podcast. This is all new for me. I have been wanting to do a podcast for a really long time, and I'm finally doing it. Today, we're going to talk about loneliness, but I also want to talk about just general trends that I've noticed in moving back to the U.S. Loneliness, dating, changes in society, and bigger social issues that I'm noticing, and hopefully be able to help you with them and find some solutions together. So I hope you enjoy. A little bit about me. I am Natalie. I'm 30 years old. I'm currently based in Miami. I have lived in three countries. I've lived in Spain. I've lived in Israel. Most recently, I moved back from Israel to the United States about 1 year ago. I went on a very difficult journey, moving countries, breaking up with my ex-fiance after 7 years together, doing just like a lot of self-discovery and self-work, learning kind of who I am on my own, but also noticing a lot of cultural differences. One of the main things I've noticed is how lonely Americans are. So this is a uniquely American issue. I mean, it is affecting a lot of the world at large, but it's definitely especially affecting the United States, I think, due to a number of factors. The first one is we live in a very physically large country. And as a result, a lot of people are physically isolated, whether that be in the suburbs, in cities. People live far apart. They don't really know their neighbors anymore. We've kind of lost community and religion. Also, if you take into account since COVID, right, everyone working from home, all the people who are remote, and these younger kids, like the Gen Zs, Gen As, a lot of them don't even know what they're missing, like that they're really missing this social interaction that my generation got to have. I'm a millennial, and I think that they're really missing out on that, but they don't even know they're missing out on it because they have their pseudo connections, right? They're Snapchatting each other all day. They're on Instagram all day. They're on TikTok all day, but they're not really interacting face to face in the same way that we traditionally always have. And kids are hanging out with their friends less and less, and it's just becoming a really big, big issue. I see it almost at epidemic levels. And then it's also spitting off into dating because these dating apps are actually creating the illusion that we have connection, we have options for relationships. But then in person, men are not really asking women out anymore. I even saw one statistic that something like about 45% of young men ages 18 to 24 have not asked a woman out in person ever. So this is a major, major issue in American society, in the world society right now. And it's something that I think we can tackle together with enough effort and enough awareness. I actually worked previously at a startup called Intuition Robotics, which was aimed at helping with loneliness. They actually created a robot which was aimed at assisting older adults, so senior citizens, with loneliness from within the home to keep them less isolated and also healthier from within the home. This is just a really huge societal issue for all ages. It's affecting young people, it's affecting older adults, and it's something that I really want to fix and hopefully do something about. So I'm just going to read a few stats on loneliness, a few of the latest statistics. So in a study from 2024, this is actually from Cigna Group, where they did like an analysis of how lonely everybody is across different generations. So Gen Z was actually the loneliest generation, which is surprising, but also not that surprising, like I said, because a lot of Gen Z does not really interact physically. They're just kind of on their phones and having these pseudo relationships and pseudo connections. So it actually said that 67% of Gen Z felt loneliness, according to this survey, or they identified as lonely. Gen Z and millennials who grew up alongside digital technologies such as the internet, mobile phones, and smart devices are the most connected, yet they have higher levels of loneliness than older generations. So yes, 67% of Gen Z are lonely, 65% of millennials are lonely, 60% of Gen X is lonely, and actually baby boomers, so those born in 1946 to 1964, are actually the least lonely generation, which I find really interesting. It's only about 44%, so a little less than half, but that's still a significant number. So loneliness is affecting all generations, right? As I mentioned in that statistic, it's actually affecting younger generations even more than it's affecting older generations. And there's so many use cases and so many situations. It could be, you know, new moms who are isolated at home. Let's say they're dealing with postpartum depression and they don't know anybody in their community and they're just going through this very tough time on their own. It could be empty nesters. So let's say parents who their entire life was dedicated to their children and then their children leave the nest. that can be a difficult life stage, causing loneliness if you're not close with your community, your neighbors, etc. The example I gave of myself moving to a new city, and then also I just think it's so ironic that nowadays, especially with these younger generations, we're more connected than ever technically, but actually we feel more alone than ever because we have all these pseudo connections. And this is actually why I'm very anti-social media in general. I haven't used Instagram, like I haven't posted on there in, I want to say, 8 years maybe. I didn't use it all of the pandemic. And I believe that that's part of why I'm not so lonely, because I actually don't use social media, because I think social media gives off this facade that there's something wrong with it. Like everybody's putting out this curated fake version of themselves. And if you go on there when you're feeling especially low and you look at it and you see everybody, oh, they're all so happy, they're all living these perfect lives, and here I am lonely at home, it just reinforces the negative things that we feel about ourselves, and it reinforces that loneliness. Loneliness also has significant health outcomes. So those that are lonely, according to research, this is research from US Surgeon General, they found that according to the center, the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that social isolation and loneliness can increase a person's risk for heart disease and stroke, type 2 diabetes, depression and anxiety, suicidality and self-harm, dementia. I love that I'm like smiling as I mention all of this. This is not like happy stuff. Suicidality, self-harm, dementia, earlier death, weakened immune system, physical pain, and more. I also read an entire book on the topic of loneliness. It's called The Lonely Century. I read this back during the pandemic. And by the way, that's the other thing, right? We were lonely, like we were heading towards this era even before the pandemic. And then the pandemic just kind of exacerbated everything. But this book, it's called The Lonely Century. It's by a woman named Norina Hertz. And it's a fascinating book, but it's a very depressing book. And basically, she talks about how our world is just becoming increasingly lonely. And one of the things that she mentioned, which I thought was really, really fascinating, is that if you look at the ultra-Orthodox community in Israel, so this community is very, very typically, traditionally speaking, holistically speaking, they live a pretty unhealthy lifestyle. So they don't really get a lot of sunlight. They're inside all day studying in yeshiva. They don't really exercise. Maybe they walk a little bit here and there, but they don't really go to the gym or go work out. They don't really eat very healthily or drink a lot of water. So a lot of the time they're eating just kind of carbs, starches, not a lot of vegetables. And yet this group, this demographic, is actually the healthiest. They have some of the best health outcomes in the entire country. Why do you think that might be? Because they have such a strong network of social connections. They're surrounded by people basically all day, every day, never alone, never isolated. And as a result, they have actually better health outcomes despite their technically, you know, traditionally speaking, not very healthy lifestyle. So I thought that that was very interesting. If we look at the United States and our society, our lifestyle is very isolating. Let's say even you do go into an office, let's say you might drive to work. And if you're driving to work, you're in the car by yourself, you're isolated. Whereas in other countries, they might be taking public transportation, taking the bus, taking the train. And even though everyone's also kind of maybe ignoring each other on their headphones or reading books, they're at least having more interaction with other people. There's also suburban sprawl, right? So a lot of Americans live far apart from their friends, from their peers. I have friends who live close by who are maybe, you know, I could literally walk to them. But then I also have friends who are, let's say, an hour drive away. And I do still see these friends, but it does take significant effort to see them. And in this era where we've gotten lazier and lazier to leave our houses, and we got so comfortable staying at home during the pandemic, why on earth would I take an hour to drive to see you, right? Like people have just, we don't want to put in the effort to see friends. I really think that post-COVID, there's a lot of lingering effects. So with remote work, although remote work is fantastic, I'm not anti-remote work by any means. There is obviously, you know, we're not seeing each other physically in the same way and surrounded by people. And I do think that there's a lot of benefit from that, from being physically in close proximity with others. We've also moved away from traditional religion. So a lot of people no longer go to church or synagogue. They're not, you know, connecting with that community. And they've also lost a lot of faith. And faith can really impact people's overall wellness and happiness. So for example, in small towns where they do have a stronger faith and a stronger sense of community, just like that example I gave with the ultra-Orthodox, they are feeling less lonely overall. So it's quite interesting, but not surprising. But yeah, if you look at like America of yesteryear, of the past, people were hanging out. Like even when I was a kid, we would go play on our street. We would go outside, we would play with our neighbors, whether that's kicking the ball around the street, which is kind of crazy that we did that. And this is not that long ago, but we would, you know, play catch, we would climb trees, we would just like do random stuff on the block. And we knew all of our neighbors, we knew them by name, we hung out with each other, we all had relationships. Whereas I imagine for kids now, these Gen Zs, Gen As, they're probably just sitting at home, either playing video games or doing TikToks or just something online. No, you know, disrespect to them, but that's got to be, again, contributing to this loneliness and isolation. So I want to talk a little bit about this question of how do you make friends as an adult? How do you do it? I think a lot of people, there's a lot of stigma, especially around, and again, these Gen Zs, millennials, people do not know how to make friends as an adult. I can share a little bit about my personal journey. I recently moved back to the United States after 8 years in Israel. I was in a 7-year relationship with an Israeli. We can talk all about that in another episode. I could talk about that for hours. So my personal journey was I moved back to the US. I had friends from childhood, my friends from college, from various life events, but I was essentially starting over in a new city. So I moved to Miami. I knew almost no one. I had two friends, but they both had little children and husbands, and they didn't have, you know, tons of time to spend with me. So I did see them from time to time, but they were very busy. So most of the time, being, you know, my new single self, I was living alone for the first time ever. By the way, I've never lived alone in my life. I always either had roommates or lived with my parents or lived with my ex. Never lived alone fully, which was isolating initially and scary and sad initially. So for somebody in my situation, which is quite common, by the way, I mean, Americans move city to city all the time, whether that be for work or for studying or for just different life events. And a lot of the time, unless you are like me, I'm extremely extroverted. I'm very like the exception to the rule. If you are not like me, I imagine it'd be very, very difficult to make friends in a new city, right? I mean, if you think about especially someone in a different life stage, let's say a new parent with a little baby, or let's say, you know, you're an empty nester, you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you move somewhere new, whether that's, you know, to be closer to your children or just, again, jobs, studying, etc., to really make friends as an adult is not easy. It's very challenging. So for me, I was fortunate that I'm very outgoing. I'm not shy by any means. And I also had a very unique life experience, which is, well, one, I've moved countries and cities many times, so I'm pretty comfortable just rolling with the punches and figuring it out. And I have a very just outgoing personality. But also, I had traveled solo on my own. I did a big trip across Asia, mainly Southeast Asia, in 2023, which was amazing. One of the best things I ever did in my life. So I was traveling solo 3 months, 1 month with my ex, so 4 months altogether, but 3 months on my own, just like with a little backpack, and I had never traveled solo ever. And due to this trip, I was very, very comfortable doing things that under normal circumstances, I would feel very judged to do or very insecure to do. So for example, I would go to the movies by myself and just sit there and watch a movie by myself. Or I would go out to dinner, take myself out to dinner or to a bar and just like sit at the bar and talk to the bartender and maybe talk to strangers. And normally back home before this trip, I would be so insecure and judging myself and like afraid to have these life experiences. And after my trip, I just realized like, nobody cares. Nobody's judging you. We're judging ourselves more than we're judging others. We're all in our own little world. We're not even thinking about other people. And if anything, if people will look at you and be like, who's that girl eating by herself? They probably are thinking like, wow, good for her. She's having a great time. She's so confident. She's able to go eat by herself. Nobody's thinking, what a loser. They showed up by themselves. Nobody cares and nobody's thinking that, right? That's all in our heads. Everybody's in their own story. They're all focused on their own stuff. Nobody even cares. And I think in our society now, this is becoming increasingly rare and increasingly kind of strange almost. Like if somebody goes to a bar and someone just starts chatting them up at the bar, initially people might judge them or, you know, we might judge ourselves like, oh, they're going to think I'm so weird for just talking to them. But really, in my experience, I've found that actually everyone really is craving this, and they're always so appreciative and happy when somebody strikes up a conversation. It's never, almost never met with rejection or, oh, why are you talking to me? People are like so happy to be talked to because we miss this interaction. We used to get it all the time, whether it was on airplanes, whether it was with your neighbors, with your church, with your community, and now it's becoming increasingly rare, and it's very sad. And people really crave this now more than ever. And I think that our world, if you look at like the greater landscape of just everything, we're in a very, very dark time in the world. And I think that now more than ever, we really crave human face-to-face interaction. I mean, humans are social beings. We were built, this is how we were wired. We were built to form connections with others. And it's something that is really, really lacking in our world today. And I really want to fix it. And I really want to improve this. So this is part of why I started this podcast, is just to raise awareness on this issue of loneliness, but also to find solutions. But I applied this same principle when I moved to Miami by myself, which is just show up to stuff. And nobody cares. And there's so many events. I don't know, you know, not everywhere, not every city, and you don't always know where to look, but there's so many events, whether that's on Meetup, whether that's just community events. If you go to like a community center, there's sporting events, there's, you know, leagues, kickball leagues, softball leagues, go to a gym. There's so many places to meet people. And people are craving this so badly because, like I said, this loneliness and lack of social connection that everyone is feeling, people really want community and connection. And I think that if you just show up to things, it's a great way to make friends. So for someone like me, what did I do? I mean, I moved to a new city. Again, I had two friends, but they both had little kids. It was also kind of triggering for me, to be honest, at the time, because I had just broken up with my fiance. We were going to be having kids, I thought, in the very near future. So to see them with their husbands and their little families and everything that I thought I was going to get and still want, it was triggering for me in a way, and it was kind of hard to be around them. But I still, you know, I still wanted to see people and be around people and not be alone, especially in this time when I was in a very dark place and sad place coming out of a breakup of 7 years. And so I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to meet people? Fortunately, I really relied heavily on the Jewish community here in Miami, which is huge. And I was so, so fortunate to find that there's endless events. Like, if you know where to look, there's WhatsApp groups, there's Facebook groups, there's so many sources to find this information. And there's endless events. Like, it's honestly overwhelming how many events there are. There's dinners and lessons and creative things. Like, I did like a crafting activity. There's painting. There's really, you name it, you can find it. There's also a huge community of spirituality. So I have personally found a lot of community in going to Kabbalah lessons at the Kabbalah Center, which has really helped me when I was very down. But there's tons of that as well. I mean, if you're not even, you know, there's traditional religion, of course, there's churches, synagogues, temples, etc. But even if you're not into traditional religion, you can find a lot of great resources for spirituality. So there's like sound baths and yoga and ice plunges. There's so many ways to meet other like-minded individuals. You just have to show up. And I think that's what's really scary to a lot of people, is just showing up. And because of, again, like I said, my whole experience, my trip traveling on my own, I'm not afraid to show up and be a stranger and put myself out there and just go up to people and introduce myself and strike up a conversation. But a lot of people are very, very intimidated and scared to do this. Like, I am not your average. I am the exception. So I think that's what's so tricky, is just showing up to things, not judging ourselves. We're judging ourselves way more than anybody else is judging us, and we have to remember that. So I think my number one tip to help with loneliness is just look at your community events, look at what's happening in real life, and if you search for it, you can find it. So whether that's something professional, there's tons of like networking groups, there's tons of events on Meetup. You can even create your own event on Meetup. You could create an event for networking, whether it's a book club, what craft you're into. You could host dinners. There's really so many ways to meet people. It's just getting your foot in the door, researching all of these activities that are out there, knowing where to look. And then the hardest part, which is showing up, being a stranger, putting yourself out there. And a lot of people with social anxiety do not feel comfortable doing that. So one option could be that if you're afraid to go to these events by yourself, you could ask a friend. Hopefully you have at least one friend. If you do not have even one single friend that you would feel comfortable asking to join you at one of these events, there's definitely a lot of ways that you can get to that and find that first friend. I would say try to find ways, small ways, that you can engage with other people, which could then lead into a friendship. This could be waiting in line for the checkout at the grocery store. This could be even chatting with the cashier at the grocery store, especially at Trader Joe's. They're very chatty there. I always enjoy Trader Joe's. This could be in class if you're a student, just, you know, going up to people, finding common ground and finding opportunities to engage with them and socialize and strike up a conversation. You can find just something that you have in common. It could be what they're wearing. It could be, you know, giving them a compliment, commenting on the weather, being vulnerable with a smile on your face. Really, something so small could then eventually lead into a really meaningful friendship over time. I can give a personal example. One of my best friends here, I actually just met at a resin making class. She was Australian. I had other good friends who are Australian, so I just kind of asked about, you know, her background, and before you know it, we were kind of making jokes about Aussie slang, and one thing led to another, and now we're really good friends. So really, it's that simple, just striking up a conversation, finding commonalities, finding common ground, and eventually people, if they're meant to be in your life, will want to connect with you further. But I think, yeah, just if you do have at least one friend that you could go with, just asking them, hey, I'm a little nervous to go to this event. Would you want to go together? And that's a great way to make friends as well. So really, people want to connect. People are open to it. I really see this growing more and more, that people are really craving this human to human connection and showing up to these events in your community. There's so many ways to do it. And then the other thing that I recommend, just as I mentioned, is people are really craving just all conversation, interaction, these friendly gestures that we used to do. So I'll give the example in my building. I live in a high rise and there's an elevator, and there's always like one of the elevators is always broken. But the elevator is actually a great place for small talk. And I've been sort of testing this out with my neighbors just to see who's receptive, who wants to speak, who doesn't. And I just, that's my personality as well. Like I just, you know, strike up a conversation with my neighbors and I'll just mention something random, whether it's the weather or complaining about the elevator being broken, or, you know, maybe they're carrying their Amazon packages, or maybe they have a dog with them or little kids with them or something. And I find a way to connect with them and strike up just some small talk. And again, I find that the vast majority of the time, people are really craving this and they really appreciate me making the first move and talking to them and striking up a conversation. And it's almost never, ever, ever met with hostility. People are very appreciative. They're very happy to talk about just random stuff. And then at the end of the day, something that's like so amazing and so nice about my neighbors is that afterwards, everybody just says like, have a great day, or bye, even just saying bye, you know, feeling like there's someone out there who cares about you just a little bit can really make someone's entire day. And feeling like, wow, there's good people out there. We're not in this lonely, dark, depressing world. There's good in this world is really special. And that's something that I want to continue to bring to this world. So few tips that we've talked about, just showing up, doing the research on the local events that are happening, showing up, whether that's by yourself or with a friend, if you're too intimidated to go on your own, striking up conversations with people, whether that's in the elevator, at the bar, wherever you see them. People really appreciate this gesture. I've had this happen now several times where I've just been on an airplane and I could have just sat there the whole plane ride and just ignored the people sitting next to me. But instead, I made the effort to just kind of gauge if they're interested in conversing. And I've had multiple plane rides where I spoke to the person next to me for the entire plane ride. Again, people are really, really craving this and missing this. And I see it every day. With all this AI, with all this technology, we're actually wanting to go old school. And I think that's so amazing. Like, we're so innovative with all this technology. And yet, as far as we've come, to be innovative right now is to actually go old school and to speak to people face to face, real life, like we did back in the day. Like, wow, what a concept. I think like everybody just has this fear of rejection. Like, what if nobody will talk to me? What if they think I'm a weirdo, etc.? Nobody's thinking that. Nobody cares. You're in your own head. Stop judging yourself. The vast majority of the time, they're in their own world. Or again, if they're judging you or thinking about you, it's in a positive way. So really, nobody's judging you but you. I think there's also this huge stigma around loneliness. Like, a lot of people think, you know, there's something wrong with me. We don't really talk about friendship loneliness in society that much. Like, it's not really being addressed that much in the media or in, you know, movies, shows, etc. But it is a huge, huge issue. On my Asia trip, I went to Japan for a few weeks and I just noticed the big, big cultural differences there. Like, they've essentially designed their whole society in a way that they don't even have to interact with each other. You don't even have to speak to the waiter. You can just use a tablet. You don't even have to have a waiter. There might be a robot waiting on you. And sadly, this is the way that our entire world is now going. We don't have as many cashiers. You do the self-checkout. You don't even place your order with someone at McDonald's. You just use the little machine. Like, it's very sad the way that we're headed. So these rare moments that we get to have human interaction in our society today are so special and so impactful. And that's why I think we really need to pay attention and make those little small gestures, and they really, really do add up. So how can you show up authentically in social situations? I think just bring a positive attitude, even if you're scared, even if you're intimidated, even if you're judging yourself, just show up with a smile and people will notice that, and introduce yourself, strike up a conversation, find something that you can relate to, whether that's giving them a compliment, whether that's, oh, hey, we both have the same shoes on, or, oh, hey, I love that brand of bag, or whatever. It could be something they're wearing. There's so many ways to connect with people, just starting with something small like that, and then it can spin off into a really meaningful conversation and friendship eventually. And then I also think, so I mentioned community, we're really lacking community. Any way that you can find a niche community, so you could start with that online. I really think that there's a lot of ways in person to find a community, whether that's through a religion, whether that's through a shared interest. So this could be hiking, this could be ceramics, this could be painting, this could be so many things. Maybe you're both into Dungeons and Dragons and you find a Dungeons and Dragons meetup, or maybe you're really into video games or coding or so many different things, shared professional interests. Another great way is just to reach out to people. Don't be afraid to ask people for their numbers. That's another thing. So I do not use Instagram actively. A lot of people now, like people my age, will always ask me, oh, what's your Insta? Add me on Insta. And I actually don't have Insta. So I have to do the weird old school thing of, actually, I have an Insta, but I don't really use it. Let's exchange numbers. And a lot of people might be like put off by that, but if they're a true friend and they're someone who actually wants to meet in real life anyhow and put in some effort anyhow, you're eventually going to exchange numbers regardless. So it's just, you know, skipping that awkward Instagram step and just moving straight to like the full-on friendship. And if they're meant to be a friend, they'll, you know, want your number, and it's not going to be a weird thing. But I can share from my firsthand experience that a lot of people just really are looking to connect. And then another thing I want to talk about is, how does this all affect dating? So we're finding similar things, similar trends with dating now in this era. The dating apps are very bad. Like, people don't really meet in real life anymore. Again, back to what I was saying, like, nobody really chats you up in a bar anymore. Nobody really strikes up a conversation just sitting, waiting in line to get on the plane. And I think that that's a huge issue as well. And that's something I'll address in my next episode. We'll talk all about dating and the modern era of dating. But so in conclusion, I just wanted to share that if this resonated with you at all, if you identified with this episode and are feeling lonely or having a hard time making friends, you are not alone. This is a huge issue that is affecting all of our society, and it's an epidemic. I really invite you all to share your experience with loneliness. So if you're willing and able, feel free to write that in the comments. Your experience, how you were able to make friends, what's helped you make friends, whether that's in a new city, in a life circumstance that's changed. Making friends as an adult is really challenging, and there's a stigma about it. And if you're willing to share your story, I would love to hear it in the comments. So your homework for this week is, I want to challenge you to, one, research different events in your community. So you can do this online. You can do this by downloading the app Meetup. You can do this through Facebook or Nextdoor or things like that. Your first task is to do research on events in your local area. Two, I want to challenge you to strike up conversations with strangers wherever you can. So this could be in the elevator. This could be at the checkout at the grocery store. You know, don't go to the self-checkout, go to the cashier, waiting at the doctor's office, just wherever you see other people. Instead of just gluing yourself to your phone and ignoring everyone, I want to challenge you to strike up conversations with total strangers, find common ground, find things to discuss with them, or pay them a compliment, or it could just be something really small. Those are my two assignments for you this week. research events in your area and find ways to connect and converse with strangers. Eventually, I hope you'll buck up the courage to attend some of these events, either with a friend or on your own, if you feel courageous enough to do so. So in the next episode, I want to talk more about dating. We can get more into this topic as well of loneliness and making friends. But I do think that showing up to things, researching communities, being vulnerable, striking up conversations, whether it's small talk, in the elevator, chatting people up on the plane, there's so many ways to connect and people really crave it. We all crave this connection. And I think it's very, very prevalent to those who are noticing. There's so many ways to find community and find other like-minded individuals who are also looking for friends, and we could always use more friends, right? Even if you have a great, solid, set group of friends as an adult, it's always wonderful to meet new people. And there's so many ways to connect and so many others who are feeling the same way. With more and more effort and more people putting themselves out there and not afraid to show up, make new friends, make new connections, and strike up a conversation and be vulnerable, we can really address this issue and hopefully start to see a lasting change in going old school and going back to sort of how things were when I was growing up before all these smartphones and before all this social media is really going to help. And eventually, this won't be an issue anymore. I hope. I have a lot of hope. So thank you so much for listening. We didn't save the world today, but I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And next week, we'll be diving into dating apps, the world of dating in the modern era, and trying to find love in this weird, disconnected world. So spoiler alert, it's a mess, but looking forward to the next episode. And thank you so much for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time.